All right, the Lord bless you.
You can be seated.
It's just a wonderful privilege to be a son of God. I talked with a man last night, professional man, and in the course of conversation, some of you know the mission that I was on last night, and he began to use terrible profanity. That's the way of the world. I'm shocked at, in a way, at some of the things I hear or read that our president says, inasmuch as he claims to be born again. I'd rather he didn't use that word born again and then use smutty talk. That applies to any of you that might do it too. I haven't heard you, but I just throwed that in. You've already taken me off. I'd rather you wouldn't testify about the beauty of holiness and then defile it with ugly talk. All right? Blessed be the Lord. But this man began to, that I was talking to last night, he began to use bad language. And then he remembered that I was a minister. He called me a reverend. I never call myself reverend. I just don't feel quite that way about myself. I don't mind calling Brother Franks or any of the other ministers, Brother Blackwell. That doesn't offend me at all to call them reverend. But I'm just not going to, I don't even call myself Mr. Rutledge. I'm just Marvin. But then he apologized to the reverend because of the language that he used. So rather than rebuke him, he didn't know anything about this. I know something he don't know. And I'd like to tell him. But it's more than just saying, hey, you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name, get the Holy Ghost, salt and tongues, and go to hell. That's not usually the way you win people. You may have tried it, but you usually throw up a wall that you'll never allow any of us to testify to them anymore. This world is hungry and starving to death for love, real concern and care. Preaching not being mixed with faith is not worth a plug nickel. We've got to preach with faith. We've got to preach with feeling. We've got to preach with love. Testify the same way. Sing the same way. A few times I have retaliated. For instance, going to California and hearing all the filth talk on the CD sometimes when you get around large cities. Sometimes you have to turn it off because it gets too rough. And sometimes I would preach. One time I remember retaliating and I started singing. And I sung a song something like this. If all the liars and all the adulterers in the lake's going to have their portion, there's a lot of these people that's talking about heaven, might as well change their notion. If all the sinners are doomed to hell as the Bible does declare, there's a lot of these people that's talking about heaven, not going to make it up there. And then it gets real quiet for a while. And then all torment breaks loose again. And then I start singing again. If you don't receive the Holy Ghost according to Acts 2 and 4, you never can join a heavenly host. They'll stop you at the door. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, as the Bible does declare, he speaketh unto God and without the tongue shall have no voice up there. And he gets quiet again. And then I sing another verse. Oh, some folks say that you're apt to sin as the sparks do upward fly. What book in the Bible do you find that in? What verse contains that lie? Now the preachers that preaches that kind of stuff, they can't find it anywhere. They'll make you think that you're good enough, but you're not going to make it up there. And by that time, I've got a fight going. And to tell you the honest truth, that's not the way to do it. Though sometimes we are aggravated at the cursing, abusive world, it's not enough to just get them down and choke them. I tell you again, this world is hungry for affection, for love, for someone to care. The man last night said, excuse me, Reverend, I just get so fed up with my job and with my superiors. And he said, it's all political. He said, my job is political. The man over me, his job is appointed. He is political. And he said, it's just a big political mess. He's talking about law enforcement agencies. And that's the way it is from the road overseers. Appointments by county judges, appointments by governors, appointments by the president. And I'm sorry to say, and I told him, this thing even laps over inside church groups and church organizations until it becomes a political atmosphere. And I want to scream sometime, let's talk about Jesus, let's sing about His love, let's talk about His power, let's talk about what He can do. Let me tell you in a nutshell what He can do, anything He's ever done. Anything and everything that He's ever done, He's still the same. Praise. So when the man began to curse and many apologized, I said, I guess I understand. I've heard of many a man cuss. But the real church is always standing by to hear your problems, and cussing doesn't solve them. Praise God. I know some of the doctors might tell you, go ahead and say what you want to, make you feel better. But that don't solve anything.
Right.
And then he said, you know, Reverend, he finally got to call me preacher. I got closer to him. He said, I'm a Catholic. My wife is a Methodist. And our home is in a mess. And I'm unhappy. I went into the Marines so many years. And I'm now trained to be an airplane pilot, commercial. I'm going to quit this job I'm in. I'm going to be flying. I'm not happy. He kept saying, I'm not happy. I am a Catholic. But he said, I'm not a good Catholic. I'm ashamed of myself because I'm not a good Catholic. And I wanted, you know, you'd like to reach a man like that in one night's time. You'd just like to harvest that soul right now. It don't usually happen that way. But you can multiply that by 10,000. And they're all over Pine Bluff in this area in the same category. Drinking, cursing, belonging to something, but are not really anything. Amen. I thought tonight while the choir was singing and the testimonies was given, it would not have been out of order at all for some real old-fashioned shouting to take place in here tonight. It's getting to where it's kind of scarce in our church. And I was in a church the other night and the preacher asked for volunteers to run. Some of them ran. I didn't. It wouldn't hurt me. It's easy to say I don't believe in it. But I don't believe in sitting there like a stump either. So before we condemn someone who tries to get a little activity going, let's also say that I don't believe that the church ought to be dead and cold and dry and formal and cold as a cucumber. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what the secret to revival is? When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have His way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. When we begin to worship like we're enthused about this. You know what causes most people to buy a new car? Because the neighbor bought one, all enthused about it. And then you wish you could kick your neighbor after you went and bought yourself one because he led you into that thing. But enthusiasm will move people. And if we're enthused about this name that we talk about, and we're enthused about this Holy Ghost that we're singing about, and we've got the victory, and we should have the victory. The victory is the faith, and the faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I started out this morning to say that the Lord will go a long ways to reach a soul, and sometimes He goes through various channels to reach one soul. It's not always the mass revival. It was one man out on the road that Philip preached to.
Right.
It's not always a mass revival. I suppose when he left the other places that he'd been, Jerusalem or in Samaria, that he had many more people to talk to than he did as just one man, one soul, individual. And he spoke to him. It seems that he was possibly an Ethiopian, maybe a black man. Maybe not. Nobody knows. You could be an Ethiopian and not necessarily be a black man. So we speculate on some of these things. But we do know this much, he needed God. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship either as a Jew or a Jewish proselyte. And he had the book of Isaiah. And he read from the book of Isaiah. But he didn't understand what he was reading. Amen? It's just like a lot of people read the Great Commission and they do not understand what they're reading. They can read, you ask them for a scripture for baptizing using the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Immediately they'll say Matthew 28:19. You point out that no one was baptized there, that he told his disciples how to baptize, and when they did it, they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So simple to me, but they'll say, I can't see it. I don't understand it. It seems to me that it's saying repeat the words. That's like a lot of our brothers are saying the church is going to leave here at the first verse of the fourth chapter of Revelation, and I read it again and again and again, and this don't say that to me. I'm sorry, but it just don't say that. And I hear all kinds of preaching about the seven churches in Revelation, that is the Methodist church of the 1500s and 1600s, and one church represents another age, and another church represents another age. But I'm just corny enough and chunky enough to believe that there were seven churches in Asia, and either one of them could be our pattern to not do the things that they did wrong. There's a lot of folks just reading some things that's not in the book, as far as I'm concerned. But I want the truth, and the whole truth, and nothing else but the truth. Praise God. Well, everybody say praise the Lord. Paul and Silas came to town, and of course they, in the 14th verse of the 16th chapter of Acts, there was a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. You see, by that there's something can happen to the heart of an individual. God can open the heart. And it also seems that people can shut that door and keep it tight and not let the Lord move in their life if they so desire. It seems that a person must be willing for the Lord to perform that instant operation to open your heart and to open your mind. And I believe I'm talking to people one day that said, yes. And the minute you said yes, you begin to see and understand things a little bit different. Amen. Things that were darkness a minute ago, suddenly becomes light. Things you didn't understand become a revelation. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the Lord opened her heart and she was baptized. You're just wasting your time to try to baptize everybody you come in contact with unless you can get them close enough to you. And to get interested in the church and the worship and your testimony and your message until they will soften themselves, until God will open their heart. Praise God. You can't explain it to anybody. Jesus said, Peter, who do men say that I am? Some said this one, some said that one, somebody else said something else. Whom do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It was a revelation. God had opened his heart that he could understand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's not taking the effectiveness of preaching away, but that takes a lot of the argument away. And that takes a lot of the smart aleckness away. And that takes a lot of our fingers out. And makes preaching easy. The other day, Randall went fishing, and there's a wasp nest on a post in the lake. He told me about it. He had the evidence right here that there's a wasp nest out there. And he said he run into that post, and those red devils were just following him like dive bombers. And, you know, if you get close to them, they sit there and they start the motors. And they're just like a dive bomber. And them wings will roar, and that's a signal, you know. They begin to raise one or two of them feet up. Well, they're getting ready. You better get ready. And so we were going down the same place. And then he said, now that stump right up there's got that nest on it, you know. And I began to throw at it with my line, you know. And Rendell said, you're going to get a stung. I said, they don't sting this month. He said, they must not have known what month it was day before yesterday because they put one on me. And I said, oh, they don't sing the month. They might get you. And sure enough, after a while, I got my line on that, and I jerked him and waltzed, began to run here and there. And we managed to escape. It sure was fun, as long as he is from the end closest to the waltz. You know. Amen. But a lot of us, we're sitting with our stinger. I don't think that Paul and Silas came into town with their stinger out and their motors buzzing, just ready to dive down on somebody and come with a message of destruction. Church, I want you to know we have a message of life.
Amen.
We have a message of hope. It's not as hard to send anybody to hell. But inasmuch as this world is hell bound, I want to hold up the light of the gospel and come down and get over here and somehow down upon the operation on their heart that they might believe and receive. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just as well that you never tell the world that you are oneness. You don't have to use that word. I don't think I'm a compromiser. You don't have to go out witnessing saying I'm a one God oneness. You don't have to go out and say I'm one God tongue talking, baptized in Jesus' name, feet washing, tithe paying, hypocrite. Honestly, you don't have to attack and brag on everything you are. It'll show up. I've been guilty. Most of us have been guilty. The folk, what we need more than anything else is to let our light shine. And let our oil flow. And let our message show itself. Jesus said, if you don't believe me who I am because I said it, believe me for the works that I did. Hallelujah. That would apply to us also. But we sit with our motors buzzing just ready to sing someone. What a thrill it is to get a hold of one of those red devils I've been talking about and pull their stinger out. Maybe you don't believe in cruel punishment, but it doesn't bother me to pull a stinger out of a wall. And then he can't bother you anymore. I'm simply saying that some of us need to have our stinger pulled out. But as long as we're attacking, people are not going to hear. They're going to be like Rendell with that bolt pattern, just to fight and fight to keep from getting stung. Oh, folks, we're not trying to sting anybody. We want to offer them life, power, healing, and strength. Hallelujah. Well, everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So Lydia was baptized. And her household. Her household. No, not chairs and divans. And you don't know what a divan is. Well, I went up to Rendell's in Canada, and it turned into a Chesterfield. I said, they smoked them down where I come from. Couch. We're not talking about houses, and we're not talking about furniture. Her children. And if she had any grandchildren. I heard a man say the other night, I've known this man for a number of years. He said, I have 10 children. Every one of them have the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name. What a testimony. I don't know how many grandchildren, but it's every grandchild that I have that's old enough to understand have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. This is a promise. Thank you, God, if you walk in the way of the Lord, you can consider this a promise for your household. Read it a little bit farther. Your household, can you say? Because of your words and your interests. Pops and moms, I'm going to tell you something. You have a lot to do with whether or not your children are going to be saved.
Oh, glory. You can close their little heart by not being interested yourself. You can make them believe that other things are more important than the church. Sometimes it has been said concerning the ministry, that's just Brother Rutledge's opinion, or that's just the opinion of one man. Don't do that. You're causing your child to believe everything that the minister says, that's just the opinion of a man. The ministry is more than just an opinion. Everything that I've said may not always be just exactly right. I may miss it sometimes. But don't damage the ministry and the minds of a child. The prayer is just the opinion of a man. I'm talking about God saving you and your household. Now, a little bit farther, there was a woman followed Paul and Silas, and she had the devil. And every fortune-telling spirit that you run up against is not of God. I cannot fathom any child of God fooling with fortune-telling. Here, if they can do it, God can do more than they can do. I just can't see going to a witch doctor or a fortune teller or a hand reader, promise, or Ouija board or any of those things for advice when I've got God that stands at the head of all the powers and gods and lords of this world. Praise God. Come on, love God. Praise God. But this little old gal, and God can use them, not as his vessels, but in order to reach a soul, God calls her. It was not altogether the devil. I believe God used this girl as she kept following Paul and Silas, and she said, "These men are servants of the Most High God." And she just about made a song out of it. You know, they'll do the same way. They'll call you. Now, they'll call you oneness and one God. And here's what's embarrassing when some of our people say, "I believe in one less." Now, we're not one less. Oneness. I've heard that recently. The reason I'm stressing. O-N-E-N-E-S-S. Oneness. But you don't even have to use that. But they will use it. And this little old girl, she said, "These men are servants of the Most High God. These men are servants of the Most High God. These men are servants of the Most High God. These men are servants of the Most High God." Yeah, 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 yeah. What did I know? I'm not making this up. She had a belt.
Right.
Bill Goss, I heard Brother Wynn say that Bill Goss, and he went across Canada from one side of Canada to another. They visited the insane asylum. And in this asylum, Bill Goss had never been there. Four or five of those patients lined up together. This almost scares me. And they lined up together, had their heads together, and they started chanting, "Bill Goss of Pentecost, Bill Goss of Pentecost, Bill Goss of Pentecost." Now, how'd they know it? The same way that this woman knew these men are servants of the Most High God. And Paul turned and he was aggravated, grieved, and rebuked that foul spirit. And she was making her master's money by her fortune telling. She was good at it. And when he rebuked that devil come out of her, and she couldn't tell fortunes no more. Uncle Henry used to visit our house. Uncle Henry had typhoid fever when he was a baby, they said, and it made his brain quiet or something. And he used to visit our house. He was literally a patty, not a bum, but he just went here and there. And he would come into our house, and I've told you before, I think, but he would not drink the coffee unless he saw Mom pour it. She had to put all the cups on the table and then pour the coffee. In those days, we just put grounds in the bottom of a big old pot and boiled it. And then pour the coffee in the cups, and then let Uncle Henry reach and get him one of his choosing, because he just knew somebody was going to poison him. And he would drink the coffee, and then he would turn his cup upside down and let the grounds make paths and marks, and
And then he would read that thing to figure out which way he was going to go that day. He is looking for his two sons, Willie and Jesse. They were always gone. And so he'd read that map and that cup where those coffee grounds had run and decide where Willie and Jesse might be, and that was going to be his path for today. And as he would leave with his pack on his shoulders, he would say, "Well, if you happen to see Willie and Jesse, write to me, let me know. Write where? General Delivery, USA? No telling where he's going to be. Or if you come into the house and somebody rode up on a horse or mule, back in those days, a lot of us rode the farm animals and all, and he'd look out, poor fellow, never done anybody any harm in his life, I'm sure. He'd look out and see him ride up outside, and he'd say, that might be detectives. And out the back door he'd go, hollering, if you see Willie and Jesse, write to me. That's become a family saying among us today. If you happen to see Willie and Jesse, just write. Lord only knows where Willie and Jesse is tonight. All right. But this girl was a fortune teller, making all kinds of fun. Paul reproved her, rebuked this devil. It came out of her. And then this got them in trouble. They were arrested for doing bad. They had not done bad. They delivered a girl from a foul spirit. They'd done nobody any wrong. And they were put in jail. But you see, they didn't know why, but God knew why. There's a jailer in there that'll never go to anybody's Sunday school. But he's got a heart that can be open. Praise God. He can be weak. Now God knows it. Paul didn't know it. Paulus didn't know it. You know, when these fellows were in jail with their backs bloody, beaten, oh my Lord. Some of you that backslide over nothing, how long would you have lasted in that condition? Let me tell you something. Paul and Saul were just men baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, like you. Not delivering them. But it took just as much for them to live for God as it takes for you to live for God. They could have backslid just as easy as you can backslide, if you want to use that word. They can get discouraged just as quick as you can get discouraged. Praise God, but there's too much at stake to get discouraged. There's too much at stake to quit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So were their feet in socks and their back sore and bloody and still able to sing a song in the midnight hour. Praise God. The prisoners heard them singing. You'd think the prisoners would be the ones that would have their hearts open. All the book says about them is they heard them singing. That's all. Doesn't say a thing about what they felt about it or how they believed it or didn't believe it. They just heard them singing. A lot of people have heard it that have never opened their hearts, have never believed, have never obeyed. But we're looking for that woman. Praise God, that woman that will let God open his understanding in his heart. And about midnight, the building began to shake. Earthquake. And I suppose that it was the only building in town that was hit. Because that's where God was going to do this work. And it just moved it around, literally. And every door in the prison seemed like come open. And these prisoners that had heard them singing, at least they got interested enough, they're going to stick around and see what else is going to happen. They must have known that the singing and praising and praying of these men had caused this earthquake. Because when the jailer realized what had happened, he was going to take his own life. And Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." Those fellows didn't run off. He said, "We're all here." And then he came trembling, falling down, the jailer. Yesterday, you couldn't have talked to him, but an earthquake makes a difference. The singing makes a difference. Amen. The presence of God makes a difference. God touching his heart makes a difference. If it had already been yesterday, they'd have never got the job done. But today is a different story. Amen. Don't rush things, folks. Don't rush things. Praise God. Take your time. Take your time. Move when God moves, but don't rush it. Praise God. Some of us didn't come in the first week or the second week or the first month or the first year. Amen. We come a trail to get to this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, love God. Amen. So he came trembling and he said something that it would be good if everybody would say, "Sirs, What must I do to be saved? You hear this quite often with some of our neighbors. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But I'm not going to stop. The next line is, and thine house.
How's that promise again? You believe, and your house will be saved. Praise God.
I'm telling you, folks, you have a lot to do with whether or not your children are saved. So, now that's not all he did, is just to say, I believe. That's one of the most false doctrines that's ever hit this world. That's not all he said. The very next verse says, then they spake to him the word of the Lord. And just use your common sense and you'll know what the word of the Lord is. Let me read it to you. Verse 31 and 32. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now do you know what the word of the Lord is that he spake unto him? The same word of the Lord that Paul preached in other places. Had you received the Holy Ghost and you believe, how then were you baptized? Praise God. He preached the same message Peter preached.
Right?
Amen. For the same result that Peter preached.
Right?
Amen. Glory. But the promise is this. God was looking for a soul. God was looking for the jailer. God was looking for his children. And he knew where they were. He used, I'm sure after the revival, that Paul and Silas must have went away to another place, and they said, we want to tell you what a great revival we had in Philippi. Praise God, we baptized a jailer and his whole family. The whole family came to God. We shout about the prison doors flying open. That had his part in it. But what's really something great is a jailer and his family came to God. No doubt filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not the doors of rattling that's got me excited tonight. It's a jailer with his heart open. Praise God, it's a family that hears the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've been in this 35 years. I know how to make some of you rejoice. I can talk about healings and tell you miracles of healing, and you'll rejoice with me. I can tell you about Brother Howard and the cancer falling off, and that's good. I can tell you about Brenda and the polio, and that's good. And if you hadn't heard it before, you'll shout these things. But folks, nothing is as great as to see a boy that tells you the things that didn't know a thing about God. And then and some of us sit back and say, I'd like to see a miracle. There's one. Hallelujah. Some of us say, I'd like to see a miracle. Yonder's one. Twice Chuck has said to me, now you don't get that feeling when you drive up this station with an earring in his ear and long hair, usually hid behind a brush pile. You don't really see him as a candidate. Too many times we shut our eyes to people that need God. And you know how I feel about all those things inside the church. But what I say to you as the church, it's not always what I say to the man that needs God out there on the street. Because them things can come later. Hallelujah. After the ground is broken. After the heart is open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chuck Smith has said to me two times. Once in a wedding here, another time at the station. That some of these days, you'll probably see me flat on my back right down there receiving that Holy Ghost. What made him say that?
go through right back there.
Yes.
Very good. I will never touch it. It's their conduct. It's their life. It's their faith.
Amen.
We haven't harvested yet, but I've got every reason to believe that some of these days, based upon their excitement about this, based upon their faithfulness to this, you should be saved in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hold on that promise. I've got to quit, but don't forget Sister Corn's testimony. Sister Corn used to testify. And she said, "Harry will get the Holy Ghost. I know he will before he dies. I just know he will." She told me that a number of times. He had this condition, and I went to the Baptist hospital in Little Rock, learned intensive care, used to visit him. That in strip, he was dark. His body was dark. And the doctors offered very little hope. A whole bunch of people. It'd do you well if you visit some of those hospitals sometimes and see the dying dozens in those large hospitals. And people just going on as if they're never going to die. I walked out of there and it looked like the man was breathing his last breath. And she come at me and said, "How's he doing?" And I couldn't answer. I just sort of shook my head. It looked bad, you know. She said, "Brother Rummage, Harry's not going to die. But he's going to get the Holy Ghost." I've got that assurance. Somewhere I've got that assurance. Harry's going to get the Holy Ghost. Well, they were coming. He got well over there. Come back here and they were coming here to church. But for some reason, our services are not the type that touch Brother Corn. A little preacher, we had him preach here. He's not all that great, but not all that bad. A soul winner's not all that bad. A preacher from Tennessee came there and preached a revival at Brother Huckabee's church. They went out and invited the Corns around the corner, and they went. Some of those folks did what we wouldn't do. They went back and insisted that he come to the altar. Brother Corn came to the altar, was baptized, and got the Holy Ghost. Not too long after that, he left this world. Praise God. Mr. Corn, what made you believe that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved, and thou hast. God could have been saying, "Brother," and he could have been saying, "Brother." Corn can didn't read. Somehow I didn't hear him. It took a little preacher and a group of people that we might call fanatics. I'm talking about the Mexican folks that we might call fanatics if we're not careful. And I'm not always encouraging you to do that. God has a church for every type of people. He has a ministry for every type of people. It's not my desire that any of our churches go out of business. I think every church has its place, and every minister has its place. Praise God. It took that little preacher, and it took those Mexican families, and it took those people at A Street to reach Brother Corn. What's it going to take to reach you? You've been to camp meeting. You've been to Fitz and Dakota. You've been to fellowship meetings. You saw healing. You witnessed people receive the Holy Ghost. Why don't you just break down and say, "Oh God, I need help. If my heart needs open, oh my Lord, revive this old hard heart of mine. Help me to believe. Help me to see. Help me to understand." Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand and love God together, will you?